Thanks for joining us at the Business Growth Cafe, where each week we select from a menu of topics for a focused discussion with an industry expert to provide insights that can impact your business's growth. With your host, Angelo Ponzi.
I am Angelo Ponzi, your host here at the Business Growth Cafe, and thank you for joining us. If you've been listening to the show, you know for my day job, I am a fractional chief marketing officer. I work with various companies as C-suite executive focusing on strategic and business issues. I've been asked so many times, how does a company decide when to hire someone like me or to hire a full-time person? So I decided to invite Kristen McAllister, an expert in fractional and interim executives, here in the studio with me today. Kristen, welcome.
Thank you, Angelo.
Now, Kristen is the president and co-owner of Sirius Executive and Interim Management and Executive Placement Firm to discuss the pros and cons of interim executives.
What are you talking about? There's only pros, Angelo.
Only pros.
Only pros.
You know, it's funny. I actually had that originally in my notes to say, only give me pros, no cons. So thank you for that. As I was going to send my notes over to you, I thought, she's going to wonder what the statement is. So I think I'll wait and say that. So you did it. And I love it.
I love it.
So before we get started, why don't you tell the audience about you and the company and all the great things that you do?
Absolutely. I'm one of two owners of Sirius Executives. My business partner is Pamela Wosley. And we did a management buyout back in 2011. What I loved about the concept of interim executives and management is picture a CEO with five hats on top of their head. They don't have enough time in the day, but they can't afford a full-time executive. Using a fractional executive helps cover that leadership gap and maybe take one or two of those hats off.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that completely, and that's typically why I'm brought in on that strategic level. So that's fantastic. Now, I met Pam actually first. I met you first, believe it or not. And I don't remember who introduced me, but I think you were on the East Coast at the time.
And that was quite some time ago.
Yeah, it's and somebody introduced me to you, and I remember we had some phone conversations, but it was Pam, your partner, that I met first in an event and got to know her and then eventually got to know you. So I'm really excited. Obviously, this topic is near and dear to my heart. This is not a self-promotion for you listening out there, but I think it's an important topic because as businesses start to grow, and especially small to medium-sized businesses that just cannot afford to have that kind of C-suite executive and a broad spectrum. Now, I'm a marketing guy, but it could be sales, it could be HR, it could be operations. I mean, a wide variety of folks. It becomes really important. But before we jump into that, I ask all my guests some same questions. And the first one is, when you think about growing your business, what keeps you up at night?
Growth. That's an easy... Running a business and growing a business, there's always too much growth too quick. There's not enough growth. It's rarely ever a sweet spot.
Okay.
So it's everything that comes along with how quickly we're growing and the infrastructure that it takes to stay there and the talent needed, not to just help our company, but all of our clients' companies grow.
You're really, in a sense, a recruiting firm, placement firm, because you actually have to have the right talent that when someone comes looking, that you have that kind of repository of great talent. Do you guys use interim people in your business?
Absolutely.
All right.
We drink from our own Kool-Aid. We use our own business model, and it's been tremendous from where we started and the size that we were at to now, being able to leverage high-caliber CMOs, CTOs, COOs, and save some of those lessons learned.
Yeah.
And get that advice and a lot of hands-on to where I was only maybe wearing five hats at a time and not eight.
All right. So I love that you're drinking the Kool-Aid. That's fantastic because obviously it's not just a business. I mean, you're living this and can talk from a lot of perspective. Another question I like to ask is, what is the best business advice you've ever received and or given, if it's different?
From an entrepreneurial standpoint, the best advice that I have ever heard was opportunity is the biggest killer for success. And we see it every day. I experience it every day. It's what makes you a great entrepreneur is also what makes that little shiny object that you want to follow.
Right.
And every opportunity that pops up, you want to chase it. And it's getting clarity and focus as to what you're doing, how you're serving your client, and the value that they're getting, and why are they buying from you, and staying true to that, and vetting out some of those opportunities and staying focused from those shiny objects.
That makes a lot of sense. I've been accused on occasion of chasing shining objects and looking at maybe this is a great way to go. Yeah. Maybe this is an opportunity. And an ironic part is I'm hired a lot of time to make sure clients are not chasing shiny objects. But sometimes I chase them myself and it's a lot of fun. But sometimes we go down the wrong road and it doesn't lead to growth, but leads to aggravation.
It's very easy for me to see that in all of our clients and give them advice sure. on it and point it out in a 5-minute conversation. For myself, I have to put a big poster on the wall to remind myself daily, because there is so much opportunity out there. And every 5 minutes that you're spending chasing that opportunity, you're not spending where you probably should be in focusing.
Right. If your role and career as an entrepreneur and where you're at today was a book, what would the title of that book be?
Oh, oops.
Oops.
Hands down, I never wanted to be a salesperson. I ended up being a salesperson. I never wanted to be an entrepreneur and own a business. And then I sat on a nonprofit board with Pamela Wasley, and I always say that my role as an entrepreneur, I was not born one. It was the day I heard, "Hi, I'm Pamela Wasley." So it's just I accidentally get into it and I roll with that, which again is that opportunity. Mm-hmm. Different opportunities are presented, and good thing I chased that one.
I was going to say, you got hooked on that shiny object. So I refer to myself as a fractional CMO, mm-hmm. and you guys talk a lot about interim executives. What is the difference? Is there a difference? I know the answer, but I want you to tell the answer to the audience about when they hear those two different terms, what does it mean?
Interim is a fancy word for temporary, and fractional is a fancy word for part-time.
Okay.
That's it.
It's that simple.
Think of it as you have leadership gaps. You may have it for a longer-term period, and you just need someone in there a couple days a week. Or there's a shorter term. We have an M&A coming up. We have a big initiative. We need to launch a product. We need all hands on deck. You need someone in there just on a temporary basis.
Okay. I've been asked over and over and over again, you know, how did you do this? How do I go about doing that? And I always say, well, if I train you, I'm training my competition. But for those listeners and executives that may be in transition or just deciding they want to get into the consulting world, how does one, from your perspective, go about not only doing this, but to be recognized and acknowledged by an organization such as yours?
Organizations such as ours, that's easy. Go online and apply. You just go through the application process. We have a network of about 12,000 nationwide, and we vet them for each individual opportunity. But when you look at deciding that you want to be an interim executive or you want to be independent, as you know, it's starting a business. Mm-hmm. It's not like going out and finding a full-time job and you put together a resume. You put together a business plan. And as you know, you can have every different client that you want. The more you focus in on, what clients do I want? Do I want to take 4 clients on part-time, longer term? Or do I kind of like having 3 months off at a time and I'll just take a full-time project for 6 months? So you decide and purposeful. And the more focused we see executives on the business problems that they solve and who their client base is, they're wildly successful. In fact, there's some great case studies in our book, How I Fired My Boss and Made More Money.
Okay. All right. So you said book. Let's talk about the book for a second. So you guys have 1 or 2 books?
3.
3 books. Okay. Obviously, I didn't know about 2 of them. So talk just a little bit about the books. And I think that's for someone, again, who's thinking about this, could be a good resource. But take just a minute or two to talk about that.
Absolutely. For any executive who's looking at being an interim executive, whether it's for a career or the next couple years, I just may want that flexibility. It's How I Fired My Boss and Made More Money. And it walks through how to market, how to find your niche, what should your statement of work look like. It's an A to Z of how to build your own business. Okay. And a number of great case studies from successful interim executives.
Okay. So really, it's from building a consulting business,
it's a how-to.
Right? Yeah.
It's a how to be an interim executive.
What do you find the biggest challenges for someone who fills out the application, you talk to them, and that have made, and I find a lot of times that people have never been in the consulting world or on their own as an independent solopreneur, yet they want to do it, but I'm not sure sometimes that it's for the right reasons. And so is there some kind of guidelines that you would recommend to people before you make a move like this that, you know, you need to have something, you know, to prepare yourself and be ready for it? Because it's not an easy road, ladies and gentlemen, I'll tell you that.
Yes.
I've had some ups and downs. I was fortunate when I decided to do it this time. It was my third time doing it. So it was easy for me. I actually one time was interviewing for a job, and they were concerned that if I decided I didn't like the job, I'd just walk out the door. Why? Because I wouldn't be afraid to go out on my own. Mm-hmm. So I think there's some qualifications, and people need to kind of do some introspective thinking about who they are as individuals before they head out and do that. But I'll turn to you for your answer.
I don't know. I think you just answered it beautifully.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
there's a lot to consider, including financial stability, how quickly you can build up your client base. As you know, it is starting a business, and without clients, you're not making any money, and making sure it's the right fit and you're providing value for those clients. So I think more toughest thing for an executive is taking a 30-year career and dwindling it down to why was I so successful and how can I best provide value for clients?
Okay.
And that's tough. It's very easy to say, well, I can do anything and everything. I was a CEO for 20 years. And that's not necessarily the case when you get into interim and fractional executive assignments, which is why we take, even though it's a simple application process for our network, there's a lot of vetting that goes on. Mm-hmm. It's us understanding what is a sweet spot. Do you have the right career? Being a CEO of a $2 million company for 20 years isn't necessarily the best making for an interim CEO of a $50 million company. It's taking them through culture profiling. There's any number of steps that we go through to make sure that it's the right fit.
And really, the And to follow what you just said, even a CEO of a $2 million tech company even might not be good for a $2 million restaurant chain, right? So a lot of verticalization. And I think on your website, you talk a little bit about segmentation and looking at, you know, the different verticals where you might play and the different kinds of, not even jobs, but more of the kind of the, I guess it's verticals is what I'm really after. And I think that's really important. I know for me, a lot of times I'll get asked, well, you've got a B2B or your B2C background, depending on who I'm talking to. And I say, well, I used to sell alcoholic beverages and ice cream. And what do you know about technology? So I have to convince them that I understand that role as well. But I always talk about, it's not necessarily, I've been agnostic when it comes to verticalization. It's like, I understand marketing. That's my expertise. I don't really care what the product or service is. I'll figure all the other stuff out. Why? Because I'm also a market researcher. And I just need to take my skill set to help solve your problem. I may not know exactly the vertical, but I will. And so that's kind of, for me, I talk about a challenge. Sometimes that's the challenge I have, is to convince somebody it doesn't really matter.
What you don't need to convince them on is, I know your industry. What you need to convince them on is, I understand your problem. I have fixed this problem five times before in all of these different industries. So though, Angela, you can probably step into just about any industry, where are you best at? What type of problems? Do you work great with young entrepreneurs who are just launching? They've got some seed money and you are a growth marketer. Is it best when you're working with an established marketing team and you're just bringing in the strategy and helping them execute? It's the situation that we find impacts their ability to be successful the most and how many times they've worked through that situation. It's much easier to get to know an industry than it is to get to know, will this strategy or tactic be successful or not? If you've done it five times before, you already know that.
Right.
That's much more costly to learn.
And I think, thank you for that. I think that's a really good, I've been fishing here, but that's a really good recommendation. Again, back to people that are considering jumping out on their own, to understand that it's not necessarily the vertical. It's really about situation analysis, in a sense of what is the problem that this particular company might face.
Yep. We hear it quite a bit from business owners saying, I don't want someone who has had a 30-year career at IBM stepping into my $20 million company. They don't understand what it takes to have a $20 million company budget. So even little things like that, a background to where you've worked with a larger company, you know what that $20 million company wants to grow into, but you've also worked with some smaller companies and you understand that the office manager is probably doing five different jobs still.
Yep, Yep.
Or their office manager they've probably grown out of, and you need to help them find the right person and what they need next.
Mm-hmm. I've been fortunate. I literally have worked with startups with no money, and then I've had the opportunity to work with global organizations with multi-million dollars. And it is different when you got millions of dollars at your media spend as versus I got to sell a product in order to get some money in order to buy, you know, an ad next month. It's very different, and I think it takes a different mindset and,
yes,
and strategically how to look at it. Different from someone who comes out of a big corporate world, putting in that environment, I think it's detrimental to not only to them, but to the organization. One of the things I saw on your, I think it was your website, and I really liked it, is, and so the question I have then is, what are a few misconceptions and realities about hiring a fractional executive? That might be your book.
There is actually a whole chapter in our latest book called Myths and Misconceptions about Interim Executives.
Okay.
So possibly it was when you read
okay,
the book.
Okay, maybe that's where I got it from.
There's a number of them, because interim executive is not, we all know consultants, they've been around for decades, if not centuries. But understanding how do we use a part-time executive or just an executive on a temporary basis, biggest concern or question we get from business owners is, what do you mean someone at that level is available to step into my company next week and help me solve a problem? It almost seems too good to be true.
Mm-hmm.
And why in the world would an executive do this? I think that's a new series for you. Why I'm a fractional CMO. So that's probably one of the biggest myths is, well, they're just executives in transition, or they're executives who have retired.
Right.
When I really don't think that you fit either one of those right now, do you?
I do not. I'm not retired. I'm tired, but not retired. And that's a great point. I've heard that before, not necessarily at me, but at others. And part of it, what I saw in these particular individuals was the way they were presenting themselves, that it came across that this was just, I'm filling time while I'm looking for a job.
Yeah. And a lot of executives are now doing that because they're worried about what is next on my resume.
Mm-hmm.
If they pick the wrong company to be a COO or CEO at, and it's not a good situation, not everything was disclosed up front, and they leave in 1 year, they're now on their resume for 1 year, and you're only as good as your last success. So some executives, before jumping quickly into, it's another misconception, is that doing interim or consulting work or fractional work while you are looking for your next job, that's a bad thing.
Right.
That's how they're testing out what company and what CEO they want to work with. The same thing, the company's able to find out on a project basis if this is the right leader for their company longer term.
Mm-hmm. I actually think that's a great way, especially if they're thinking about hiring long term, mm-hmm, is to test them out. So if someone's out thinking about becoming a fractional, or actually let's talk about business leaders, what advice can you give business leaders who are thinking about bringing a fractional person on? What are 2, 3, 4 kind of tips or guidelines that they should think about and how to kind of vet that person?
First thing, if you have a job description in your mind and here's what the activities I want them to do, take it up, rip it up, set it on fire, throw it away. Start at the end. Why do you feel you need someone?
Mm-hmm.
Why does that gap exist? And what outcome do you expect?
Okay.
And then find someone who can help you get to that outcome, rather than trying to list out, here's exactly what I want you to do to accomplish it. Decide what you want them to accomplish and work backwards from there.
Okay.
One of the things we always caution individuals on is, people can have great success, and there's a number of reasons why they had it. So be careful of someone recommending an executive to you that they've worked with and they say they're great. Just make sure that there are similar circumstances, similar infrastructure, similar support system, and similar personalities involved. You can do absolutely amazing things at one company and fall flat on your face at the next.
Okay. Is there typically a consistent problem that you see when a CEO comes to you guys and say, I need a marketing guy, I need a sales guy? Are there consistencies, or is it just all over the place?
The symptoms that they're feeling are all over the place. I think the most consistent where I can narrow it down to is they have a leadership gap.
Okay.
They are missing some type of leadership in their company to help them. One of the biggest issues that we hear CEOs talk about all the time is, we're missing accountability. no one's accountable in our organization and getting things done. That's a symptom. Mm-hmm. Who's holding them accountable? Do they know what they should be accountable for? So it's that it's usually just gaps of you don't have the right leadership in place or you're missing some leadership.
Okay. What about those? I'm getting flashed over here how much time I have left. So I'm going to go to this question because I love this question. Tell me a positive story about an organization that used your services and what were the outcomes of the hire that they had?
One of my favorites is we had a company client come to us who was about to go out of business.
Okay.
She couldn't afford to hire someone full time, but she could hire someone on an interim basis. So she brought in an interim president 4 days a week. They were in the red. She wasn't sure if she could keep her business. Within 2 months, his expertise and knowledge of how to run manufacturing businesses got her back to break even in 2 months.
Wow.
She was positive growth by the third month. He then stayed on to help stabilize, train someone up in the organization to carry on, and then comes in and does check-ins every 3 to 6 months and works with them through strategic planning.
Oh, nice.
So it was a great way to where it was just transitioning from one place to another and then handing it over.
Okay. I have to ask, what about one that didn't work out so well?
That's another list. You know what? There's a couple of those stories in our newest book. And one of the ones that I always appreciated was we just had a kind of a personality mismatch a little bit to where the reason why the person was originally brought in, the CEO was a bit of a micromanager. And the executive we put in just didn't work as well with micromanagers as others. The good news is, in the time that the executive was there, which is only about a month, was able to secure a big piece of business, was able to pay for himself. But at the same time, the CEO realized he maybe had someone inside his organization who was a better fit for the role, and he promoted her.
Okay.
So he just kind of helped the CEO realize what he really needed. And this executive also realized this is the type of personality that I probably shouldn't be working with going forward.
And I've been in the situation where I was interviewing for a fractional marketing job, and I sensed in the kind of the interviews that I had the room, but I didn't have the CEO, and I was presenting this framework that I thought made things simple. Apparently, it was not simple to hit this individual. And so I ended up not getting that position. And maybe that was probably, my wife said, it was you dodged a bullet, because if he didn't get it there, we weren't going to get it. To your point,
yes,
the personalities probably wouldn't have mixed going down the road. And that's a hard thing. And any hire is making sure that not only can they perform the duties mm-hmm. that you want and achieve with the goals, but there's also that personality that has to fit in the organization and the culture.
Yep, and that's from one of the lessons learned and why we now use a work style assessment. Because you can't mix oil and water.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have, it's not just the personality, but the work style. If I'm a CEO who likes to have everything modeled and ROIs and financials done before I make a decision, and I'm working with an executive who doesn't do modeling and is a bit of a sales pitch and let's just try it and go for it, you can't take those work styles and put them together. They'll drive each other nuts.
Yeah, absolutely. How am I doing? Am I down? I got 1 minute. So let's, these things
rapid
go by
fire.
So rapid fire, baby. So let's, I guess we got to bring it to a close.
Okay.
So, Kristen, why don't you tell the audience how they can reach you, your website, your LinkedIn, and all that good stuff.
Absolutely. Best way is to go to our website, SiriusExecutives.com, and that's Sirius, C-E-R-I-U-S. In fact, if you get that, Sirius, C-E-R-I-U-S, and just type that in, you will find us everywhere.
All right, fantastic.
That's the biggest challenge, is getting it spelled correctly.
All right. All right. Thank you so much. And I really appreciate this conversation.
Thank
obviously
you.
Near and dear to my heart. Are you speaking anywhere? Any presentations coming up soon?
Not in the near future, not until January.
All right. No. Well, I encourage people to go to your website and check it out. Also to LinkedIn with you as well. Again, thank you for joining us at the cafe today. You can find out more about me, read my blogs, view these show videos, and sign up to receive future information at theponzigroup.com, or I encourage you to connect with me on LinkedIn. And if your business is ready for growth and you need a CMO, but you're not quite ready for a full-time full-time person yet? Connect with me. I'd welcome the opportunity to explore the benefits of using a fractional CMO. Or if you're a small business looking for some business coaching or advice, reach out to me as well. Maybe I can help you in that area. And lastly, please subscribe to this show. If you're already a subscriber, I encourage you to recommend it to others. I appreciate all the listeners that I have, and actually all over the world now. I actually got a notice from a guy in Zimbabwe the other day who loves my show and has been tweeting and following me, so I really appreciate it. I know he's going to listen to this because he does listen to the show. Thank you very much, and thank you to all my listeners. Join me next week for lunch at the Business Growth Cafe.
Thank you for listening to today's discussion at the Business Growth Cafe with your host, Angelo Ponzi. Take a moment to subscribe to this podcast and visit our website at www.businessgrowthcafe.com. Read Angelo Ponzi's blogs at www.theponzigroup.com.